You're a professional. I believe in you. I trust you. And so, like, let's do some cool things together. If things get weird and, you know, you're never at work, then we're going to have to talk about it. But, like, here's your task. Be very clear on what that is.
Welcome to Unmiss, your go-to digital marketing hub. I'm Anatoly Ulatovsky, here with expert tips and exclusive chats to boost your online game. Let's get started.
Hello, good people. Welcome to our show. Hello, bad people. Welcome to our show. Hello, welcome. Today we are going to discuss about workplace, how to get success, how to get results, how to make everyone is happy. I mean, like, if you have happy customers, it's not enough. You need to make happy your team. Then your team will do everything to make happy your customers. I know about that. It's very important. I pay extra attention. And I remember when I got a toxic environment in my team, a few good players left my company, and that was tough feeling. I decided to research and got it. I can't spend all my time only producing products. I need to handle, to manage my team, to analyze, to speak with them, you know, to have this positive environment. I changed a lot since then, but that was a good experience. I'm so excited to discuss a lot more with Erika Putinsky. How are you?
I'm great. I'm super excited to hang out with you today.
Big pleasure. Want to learn more? I know about this topic. It's never enough. You can learn without any stop. Erika, before we start, just tell more about yourself, experience, background, about Georgia. Why you live there? Probably you are more happy in this place, and anything that can help our listeners to learn more about you.
Sure. So I'm the VP of Global Education and Enablement at MailChimp. Super, just proud and honored to be working at MailChimp. I do live in Atlanta, Georgia. And it's where where we're headquartered as a company. I've been with MailChimp for about 3 years now. I love it. I moved to Atlanta kind of on accident a while ago to take a job. It's been about 20 years ago, and I figured I would just be here for 1 year, but it's turned out to be a really great place to live, just from a community perspective, but then also the growth in the tech world is huge, and there's just a lot of opportunity. So it's pretty cool. I love it. Definitely excited to, kind of be in one of those communities that is pretty diverse, and definitely to be at a company where, you know, we value our customers and our people and focus on both in a unique way. Like you said, I've been at some places where, we could do a little better. Maybe we always can, whatever it is. But I think we're doing a pretty good job right now at MailChimp.
Of course. I think MailChimp is a very well-known tool. Many of my customers use this tool. I use some similar tools, I think it's a great tool because I learned a lot about MailChimp. And Erika, I want to ask about probably MailChimp doesn't take part in this, but when I get 100 emails a day, most of them are spam. I'm not happy with that. I'm far away to be happy to get all these emails. People are trying to sell me something without knowing me, without personalization. Sometimes I get the message, for example, I know you're good with fashion. You want to buy a new t-shirt. What? My t-shirt costs like $5. the cheapest, but high quality. I don't need, big well-known brands on that. So can you tell how to make happy people who get emails? Because sometimes, I can think, I have some thoughts, I need to open this email to remove this spam. And every single day, I do the same. I just remove and lead many spam emails to my spam inbox. So can you tell how to make recipients happy?
Yeah, I think, when you're working with folks that are on your team or you're working with customers, it really is super important to think about, how are you personalizing the experience and the connectivity with whomever, nobody wants to get an email or in a conversation like what you just referenced around a t-shirt or something like that. If you're, you know, if you're trying to sell me, I don't know what it is, cat litter or something like that. I don't have a cat. Like, you don't know me. Clearly. So I think to be able to make sure that, you know, from a technology perspective, you've got the right things connected. So your store, or that you really do know whenever your customer's birthday is, you're not just making stuff up or that kind of thing. Like, that's when your customers really feel like you've taken the time to remember them. And then I think the same thing with employees, you know, it's one of the things that I always make sure that I'm, you know, kind of thinking about that stuff. Like, I'll try and remember the name of your dog, or, you know, do those kinds of things so I can ask about your family or things like that, just to sort of create that little bit of vulnerability and that connection. That's where it's so important. I think we all spend loads and loads of time at work, and if we can't connect as human beings, and if we can't really have fun and enjoy each other, then we're doing it wrong. So,
of course. I think if you have no fun on your job, it's better to leave, to find something else. You will never regret, you know, because 70% of people hate their job. It's a lot. Yeah, it's a big number. And I like this quote from Mark Twain: if you find your life a job, then you don't need to work even one day in your life. So I think it's very important. And I remember when we started one project because of chasing money. I found market gap and decided, okay, we can fill this gap. We got a big team of experts, but I hated this project. I hated Monday, yellow Friday. And after 3 years, I wasted a lot of resources, but anyway, I got it, I'm unhappy, and I left. For me, it's not a bad idea to give up if you don't like it. It's not your direction. It's better to find what you love to do, and if you can work on Sunday evening, Saturday night, everything will be fine. Don't chase trends, you know. Be yourself. If you love something that your relatives or family dislike, be yourself, you know, if you have one life. Yeah,
I think that's one of the hard things, though. You know, I think everybody gets like scared to be themselves a little bit. And then, you know, to be able to think about and to be able to say, like, I don't like working on this project, or this doesn't make sense for me right now. It's really hard, you know, because I think we're all just really pushing day to day. And it's, you know, to be able to say that and to kind of make that connection. It's not that you're giving up. I think that you're kind of, you know, trusting your gut and believing in yourself and being able to sort of be in the right space to be effective. So kudos to you for being able to say, I'm out. That's really important.
I know. I remember this quote, never give up. You know, after 3 years, I got it. No, it's, if you made the wrong decision, it's a good idea, you know. And everyone can make the wrong decision, because we usually do something without having right skills. It's okay. I remember when Neil Patel shared his story when he lost a lot of time and resources with poker project. He decided to earn money like me, you know, and after some time he got it. No, project is not his daily activity, and he doesn't play poker, right? He needs to take the project. So, and it's okay. If you hate it, leave it. If you love it, then yeah, everything will be fine, even if you have no money. It takes time. Money will come. Money will come 100%. If you can outwork others now, then yeah, everything will be fine. Erica, I want to ask about the balance, especially in big teams like MailChimp. You have a big team, well-known tool, but how to find the balance between different departments, people? We have different culture, interests, but we need to unite all strengths in one cohesive project. Can you tell how you handle this?
Yeah, you know, I think that is definitely something to be able to have that kind of balance. One of the things that's really important to me whenever I'm working on a team or working with a team, is to make sure that, you know, folks feel like they're contributors and they feel like they're part of the solution. I think if they don't feel that, then they're not going to be bought in. They're not going to be happy. They're not going to understand what's going on. And, you know, if your employees aren't happy, then your customers aren't happy. So, you know, to be able to have the right one-on-one meetings, to be able to have just open and transparent conversations with folks on your team, and also to be able to acknowledge, like, hey, there's some things that you might want to do that it's just not a priority for the business or for the way we're going to work with our customers. But I'm going to hear you and we're going to talk about it. And maybe there's a nugget in there that we can pick up on and go for it. Like, that's kind of the thing, to be able to have that balance. And then to be super crisp with, you know, the strategy that you're laying out, so folks get it. So they can say, like, I'm a part of this team and I believe in this team and I believe in what we're doing. Like, those are the things that, you know, that you need to be able to get up in the morning and really feel like you're accomplishing stuff. I'm a big fan of documenting and making sure that folks, like, can also come back and read it, because I think we have monkey brains a lot of the time. And so, you know, people forget. So to be able to come back and say, this is the mission of our team, this is how we're serving our customers, and then this is what's feeding me as an employee, all super, super important.
Nice. Awesome. I'm interested about how to learn employees, your team, to personalize this experience. For example, we need to learn recipients. If I send emails, I need to understand the recipient to spend time to craft the right email. And what about employees? Can you tell, for example, if you have plus 100 people, probably 1,000 people, a lot of people, and all of them are different, but how to learn a lot of people at scale and satisfy their intent?
Yeah, the scale is always, kind of a little bit of a fiddly thing. I can't know everybody's dog's name and that kind of thing. Some days I can't, you know, remember my own name when it's a really long day. So I think to be able to try and create those points of connectivity, and then as a leader, be able to show some vulnerability, I think that helps teams feel like they at least have a connection to the leader, and, you know, they have a opportunity to connect on things that might be unusual. Like, I like to talk to my team about, or, you know, in Slack, just like share, like, hey, this weekend I read this really cool book, or, you know, is anybody interested in gardening because I have a question about something or another. And so to have those little kind of points of connection, I think that's great. But then also, you know, one of the things where just personally I found success, and I really want to kind of instill this in my team, is thinking about problems from a different vantage point. So, you know, we might not always find the answer in the playbook about selling a thing. Maybe it's more about observing something, nature, the world, something like that, where you're going to find your inspiration. So we try to have office hours. We have, you know, lots of just sort of meetups and things like that. And we also always want to stay connected with our customers. So we do a lot of call listening. We do a lot of just sort of seeing what the customers are up to. And I think that really helps kind of create those common experiences and help bigger teams feel like they're connected to something.
Nice. And I want to ask more about meetings. I know from personal experience, many people hate meetings. It's not only in my company, in my company as well. And sometimes it's tough to avoid meetings. Can you tell how you handle meetings in MailChimp?
Yeah, so one of the things that I'm very excited about is, we can definitely be a very heavy meeting culture, which I think can get in the way of progress. So what we've done, so we've gone back into the office now. We're, you know, mostly hybrid. And so what we've done is we're being very declarative about meeting titles. This is what this meeting's going to cover. And then also in the body of that meeting, put the goals and then, you know, sort of a general agenda and make sure that we're using the optional option. So if the title doesn't work for you, if this isn't aligned to what, you know, you're working on or where you're thinking, decline the meeting, you know, like that's the thing. There are some meetings that you got to show up. You can't decline the meeting, but yeah. I think to be able to create that culture where folks can prioritize and they can think through where they want to spend their time to be effective, it's really important. And then, you know, in general, whenever I'm able to do that, then I feel like I can own my day a little bit and I'm not just like, oh my gosh, here's another meeting that, you know, I probably won't pay attention to because I'm 400 slacks behind at this point, you know? So those meeting titles, I think, are clutch and can be really, really helpful for folks quickly make that decision on, you know, where they can spend their time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Let's talk about, about people. Specifically, I'm interested, you know, everyone has own family problems. Mm-hmm. I don't know, like... some kids can be sick. Now you need to take them to the doctor. I don't know, you broke your car. You need to fix this car. Many minor, sometimes not minor things we need to handle. So can you tell how, and you, it's okay if any company can ask, please provide results, please create products. I don't know, take part in your daily life, but people still have these minor problems, family problems. Can you tell how you decide such things on MailChimp?
Yeah, you know, I think that at the end of the day, if we can kind of think about it as, you know, our families kind of loan us to the businesses where we work. So, you know, to be able to understand that, you know, your families should be a priority. And if we're, as a business, if we're not making sort of, the space, if somebody's got to take a kid to a doctor or something like that, then we're not going to have happy employees. And they're all, and you know, they're going to work and work and work and work and burn out. And, you know, then they're not going to be able to, you know, really kind of think about what they're working on in an effective way. So, you know, what we do is one of the things that I think is important is to early on with your employees kind of have that agreement that you're a professional. I believe in you. I trust you. And so like, let's do some cool things together. If things get weird and you know, you're never at work, then we're going to have to talk about it. But like, here's your tasks. Be very clear on what that is. And, you know, I've got the faith and confidence in you to get things done. So I think that that also just helps folks kind of feel like they're respected and feel like, you know, that they can contribute at their highest level. And, you know, of course, with HR, you've got to document things and that kind of stuff. So, you know, if folks need to take a day off, we make sure that we document it and, you know, make sure that everybody knows what's going on too. If it's an emergency or not, you know, not their personal info or that kind of thing, but like, hey, Anatoly's not going to be here. Family emergency. Here's the coverage plan. I think that's pretty important too, is to know like who the backup is. So, you know, if I'm taking my dog to the vet, I'm not getting questions and that kind of stuff, just sort of general, and folks are concerned or, you know, they don't know what to do. So I think that's it. Kind of both ways to respect the time and respect the business.
Yeah. Nice. Yeah, I got it. I don't know what's going on with internet on Monday. It happens. You can choose the best provider. Anything can happen, but thanks a lot that you keep speaking, you know, because we record and in the podcast will be fine. Erica, let's talk about mistakes. You know, for example, in my life, I made a lot of mistakes, terrible mistakes, life mistakes. I keep doing them. I don't know how to get results without having these mistakes, because it's part of to acquire experience. And for example, we paid $6,000 for one press release to write, to pitch, to get relevant journalists, but we needed 12 press releases a week. It's like $72,000. It's a lot. So, and I decided, okay, I need to save this money. I started to write myself. I wrote a bunch of press releases. I don't remember the number, like plus 100. And I pitched all of them. I got zero mentions, zero results, nothing. Nothing works. But I acquire experience, how it works. Then we explain to our experts who can post content on Forbes, bigger sites, and they usually write blog content, not press release. Press yeah. releases, and, but we explain to them, look at it. It's almost the same, but we have some difference. The lengths, more about trending topics, to share your expert opinion. And after 6 months, after complete failure, without any results, without the light in the end of this tunnel, nothing. We got great results. And today we got mentions on CNN, Bloomberg, Business Insider, Yahoo Finance, MSN, big websites because of failure to acquire experience and to get results. Can you tell mistakes that you can see companies still do to set up this work balance and your tips how to find a much better way?
Yeah, you know, I think from a mistake perspective, I think that as much as most companies think that they're doing a good job communicating business pivots or where they're going or that kind of stuff to their employees and, quite frankly, to their customers, they might not be doing it right, you know. So. I think to be able to really think about, you know, how you're talking to your customers and how you're updating them. I think that it's so simple, but, you know, everybody wants to know what's going on. So I think to be very clear with that is really important. I do think, you know, one of the things that a lot of companies are doing right now is they're just trying to run so fast and they're trying to grow. And if it's, you know, a software business, like more things, more opportunities, more glitter, all the stuff in there. I think to be able to make sure that you keep it simple, I think that's the thing. The world is super complicated. Everything that's going on, family life is complicated and that kind of thing. So whenever we can have a very simple product that works well, then the company is going to be so much more successful than, you know, trying to, you know, just say, oh, we're cutting edge AI or that kind of thing, but you're not. Just be truthful and keep it simple and say, like, this is what we're doing and we're going to do it really well. And we're going to have the right people at the table to make sure that you're successful. So good communication, keep it simple.
Yeah, I think it's my big problem as well, because I have plus 100 things to do, but I usually prioritize and I skip most of them. I can delegate some and and do myself, but it's a big problem. I want to get everything, you know, I want to take all topics, but yeah, I know it's important to focus, to keep it simple. And can you tell how to choose these priorities? Okay, you understand, you need to have everything simple as much as possible, but how to prioritize, how to choose? Okay, this I can take, this I can ignore, this I can delegate. So any tips about that?
Yeah, I think to make sure that you're prioritizing the right thing, I think one of the things that MailChimp has, one of our mantras, it's listen hard and change fast. And so I think that's one of the challenges that a lot of folks have is they don't really listen because they're running so fast. And so if they're not listening, they're not able to really prioritize the right thing. And I think, you know, there's generally with some organizations, there's kind of a fear around like, hey, let's take a pause. Like a lot of companies, they don't want to slow down. But for sure, from my experience, if you can slow down, then you can speed up. Then you can see what the priority is, what your customers are attracted to, what they hate, but you think they should love, you know, those kinds of things. So if you're not listening, then you can't pick the right priorities. So that's definitely one of the things that, you know, that I think we do a pretty good job around, is just sort of listening and then making the change. Like the way it's written, and this is the thing that I love, it's listen hard, and then there's a period. So that, you know, is symbolic of like, take that breath and then change fast. So if you squish it together, it's not going to work. It's just going to be total chaos all the time.
Yeah. Makes sense. Erica, I want to ask about probably your prediction forecast about the future. For me, it's like when I got my first email, that was like my first experience with digital, with online internet. And I see when people can make that email marketing, can say this tool has no future because of many things that come, social media, I don't know, Google, AI today, probably virtual reality will change as well. So many things are coming fast. We need to adapt. Can you tell your prediction about email? I remember when I used email, I opened every single email without any, I didn't have experience. I was curious, what is it? Oh, okay, spam. Okay, I love spam because it's a new format. But today, I'm so picky to choose emails that I want to open. So picky because when you get plus a few hundred emails a day, it's tough to open them, especially if you have limited time, like 20, 30 minutes a day. So can you tell your forecast about the future of email marketing and email as well?
Yeah, you know, I think that email marketing still is a high performer, you know, like there's such value in it, and it's a great way to connect with customers more and more from a future state to be successful. And I think a lot of folks are picking up on this, and it's something that we really, you know, try to help our customers along at MailChimp, is it's got to be personalized and more personalized than just like, you know, hey, Anatoly, welcome to Monday or whatever it might be. Like really kind of understanding buying behavior, knowing what's important, really kind of creating that connectivity in a smart, not creepy way. And I say that because I think we can get a little, you know, in my opinion, like there's moments where we kind of go down the rabbit hole a little too fast with AI or, you know, just sort of data predictions and that kind of thing from the customers. So I think to be able to make sure that, you know, there is that connectivity, and, you know, I think to be able to listen to how your customers are interacting with your emails. You know, it's, I'm on a few mailing lists. I don't ever open some of those emails, and literally I've been getting them for years. Kick me off your list. That's so, you know, I would be more happy to go to that store if they kick me off the list, or I might be curious, like, oh my gosh, I've been getting emails from, you know, big box retail store for 2 years and now I'm not getting them. Like, what am I missing? So I think to kind of really flip the script, I think in the future state, folks will start to lean into that psychology of the sale and the psychology of the connection a little bit more. I also think something that, you know, whatever, I'm biased because I'm in education, but to be able to make sure that you're helping folks be better or learn something through the email. I think that's where we get the highest engagement, when we're connecting with our customers, rather than like, hey, here's 10% off. Maybe give them 10% off and help to teach them use the product a little bit better, or, you know, have some kind of video in there where you can help, you know, underscore that connection. So it's like the psychology of the business behind it. I think that's where, whenever email can really nail that, it's going to be an exciting time.
Nice, nice. And Eric, I want to ask about AI. It's tough to ignore AI today. Little simple yesterday, impossible tomorrow. And I want to ask about how you set up AI in MailChimp. For me, it's very important. And for example, I spoke with Jeff Coyle. He is co-founder of Market News, and said to me that in the future we will have three companies. The first company will develop AI, the second implement, and third company will be obsolete, who can leave trade, you know, the competitors. Can you tell your methods, how you use AI today in MailChimp?
Yeah, you know, the way we're using it right now is from an education and content perspective, we're using it to help kind of draft things or sort of get that early learning. One of the things that we're working with the team, you know, we've got everybody, you know, just sort of up to speed, and we're doing continuing education for them to understand that, you know, AI is not the enemy. We need to, you know, figure out how to use it, and then also be able to understand as humans, we may need to kind of tweak what we do. You know, whenever the typewriter came out, there was a whole lot less handwritten things and that kind of stuff. So, you know, some of our technical writers, they really may need to lean in and learn how to be better editors, you know? Mm-hmm. So like, that's the thing, to be able to kind of tweak it and understand, you know, the value of AI, but then the value of it as a human being. So, you know, I can spend less time trying to do all the research and all that kind of stuff, and more time trying to make sure that I've got the right voice and tone, that I've really, you know, created that connectivity with a customer, and that I've really taught them in a fast and maybe a unique way. Like, I think that's the fun part, you know, and folks are into it. That's not to say, you know, there's definitely, you know, some folks that are a little bit resistant because it's, you know, kind of their craft and that kind of stuff. And that's totally cool too. You know, I think that that's one of the things that the folks aren't really kind of talking about relative to AI. Like, where are there spaces where, you know, kind of the sacred spaces, you know, like the poets and the painters and that kind of stuff. How do we think about that? And how do we protect that to make sure that we can, you know, make sure that there's still that art and craft in the world?
Yeah, got it, yeah. And for me, AI, it's like a must-have today. Yeah. I use a lot of AI. And according to data, 5% of marketers, content creators lost their jobs when ChatGPT appeared. It's not because AI can replace them. It's more because someone can adapt to AI and can replace these people. So you need to move faster to adapt to this tool, to think how you can use it. And Erica, I have students in my network. I usually search for founders, co-founders, CEO of companies, with experts in high positions, but I still get a lot of students who wanna start from scratch, who have no experience, but wanna become a great expert in one great day. And you have this high position, vice president, and can you help these people who graduated today or just wanna start their career? Let's imagine you started today without any experience, knowledge, skills. It's your first day. What will you do differently today to achieve this position again?
Yeah, I think the thing that has been really helpful for me early on in my career, you know, and I've had a kind of an unusual career path, but early on in my career, I was able to really think about, as a human, what's important to me. And, you know, one of the things that I love to do is to you know, connect folks with opportunities to do more and achieve more than they ever thought possible. And that's been a common thread across all my roles. So I think, you know, starting out took me a little bit to get there. I was definitely kind of fighting against it and trying to hustle and, you know, get the fancy t-shirt or whatever it is. So I think to be able to really think about, like, why do you want to work? Like, what's driving you? And it doesn't have to be, I love this product. It could be, you know, I'm a great connector of people, or, you know, I want to help people be smarter. Like, to be able to think about that, then in whatever you do, pull that out, because that's like pulling your human core out and helping to kind of prioritize that in the work that you're doing. Then you're going to be passionate. Then you're going to want to show up, and the people around you are going to feel it. Customers, peers, employees, that kind of thing. So I think like to believe in yourself early is really important.
Nice. Love it. And Erica, I have my final question, very important question. I want to ask about your daily routine. How you start your day, how you finish your day, how you prioritize things between your job, family, sport, anything that can help our listeners to learn more about the right daily routine.
Yeah, I'm an early riser, so that's important to me. I get up, you know, and I always want to make sure it's goofy, but I get up, have the coffee made. I go out, sit on the front porch with my partner, and we just talk about the day, talk about what's going on, listen to the birds, have, you know, 15 minutes of just human interaction in nature. For me, that grounds me. And so haven't looked at email yet, haven't looked at the news yet. I'm still just kind of centering myself and getting ready for the day. I like to run, so I'll go on a nice run, get that out of the way. And then I come back to the house. And, you know, if I'm working from home or if I'm going to the office, then I start to think about the calendar. I start to sort of rethink what's on the, you know, for my day, and prioritize and maybe, you know, reschedule some meetings if I need more time to focus on something like that. I think that's been, or that is one of the things that I can be bad at sometimes. Like, I could take too many meetings and not have enough focus time. So that's something that I'm always kind of aware of, and making sure that I have that time for reflection. A goofy trick that I love is whenever I come home from work, change my clothes immediately. You know, that way it's like, okay, the day's over. And, you know, try and keep that time sacred, you know, where you can just relax and be with family, cook a good meal and all that kind of stuff. And then you're just recharged and ready for the next day in a way that if you're working till 11 p.m., you're not going to be, you know, and you're going to sort of go down the rabbit hole and probably burn out fast. So I think isolating those sacred times is really, really important, and will help you be better at the end of the day, and, you know, probably help your family love you more because you're not a pain in the neck and grumpy. Yeah. So
nice. Love it. Yeah, I feel your energy, all you can share. I feel your positive attitude, you know, everything that you share on this podcast. I love it. Tell the best way how to keep learning from you, how to reach out to you, how to follow you.
Yeah, so I'm on LinkedIn, pretty active. So folks, definitely, if you want to connect on LinkedIn, I do answer, which I think a lot of folks don't answer, but, you know, I'm always here to help. And, you know, if anybody has any questions or wants connections, just reach out. I'll email you back.
Nice. I see your LinkedIn profile. I send you connection request. And yeah, I like your background. Guys, I recommend anyone to follow Erica Putinsky on LinkedIn. I follow because I know it's very important for me to update what we have. if something works today, it doesn't mean that you can get great results tomorrow. You need to adapt. So I love to learn something new. I love to update what I have. Erica, it's a big pleasure. Thank you so much for taking your time, for sharing all these valuable insights. I love it. I'm pretty sure that anyone who can listen to this podcast will follow you, keep learning from you. And thanks, guys, a lot for listening and watching us.
Thanks for tuning in to UNMISS. Enjoyed the show? Drop us a review on your favorite platform and help us spread the digital marketing wisdom. See you next episode.